welcome everyone to another episode of the Conscious Junkie podcast show. Oh my goodness, it's been such a long time since I recorded the last podcast, which was in June at the Philippines. And it's November now and I'm in India. I don't know what happened, but I think life just sort of happened and the podcast wasn't really the first thing on my mind. But, well, actually, no excuses. I have had so many nice conversations with beautiful people. So now I do feel very inspired to start sharing again. And today on the show, I have Kelly Mason as my beautiful guest. She's my friend and a yoga teacher. Welcome to the show, Kelly. Kelly is 28 years young. She's a yoga teacher, designer, and a vegan chef. She is petite, very talented, and annoyingly flexible. Kelly lived in 4 countries over the past 4 years, and she visited over 7. Last year, she finished a 900-hour teacher training course in Mumbai. And nowadays, she loves to share her knowledge and passion for yoga with the world. She lives in Ashram, a town in Goa, together with her Russian partner. She seems to live the dream, and in between classes, I can just grab her for this conversation. So Kelly, welcome to the show. And you know what? I'm right away going to start with a confession.
Okay, tell me.
At first, I didn't like you.
Oh my gosh. Like most people.
No, really, I know we got to know each other. Well, it was this year, really. It was in January. Mm-hmm. And Praksha Yoga, where you were teaching back then, yeah. And I was there to volunteer and to take a lot of classes, mm-hmm. basically. And I took your yin classes.
Yeah.
And really, there was nothing wrong with that first class I took, but you just seemed a little bit, well, distant.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, from me being like an extrovert, outgoing girl, I sometimes try to make conversation with you and you were very like, you didn't seem very open to me.
Mm-hmm.
And again, there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think it only took 3 classes until I literally fell in love with the way you were teaching. And yeah, especially the way you sort of guided us through the sequences with those beautiful words and you know, everything that you told, it was so damn inspiring. And then slowly we started to, I think I just asked you to tell me or to explain me how you got this, you know, this flow or this stream of incredibly inspirational words out of you in the classes. And then I think you explained to me that you just basically start with a subject and from there you
mm-hmm.
sort of start flowing.
Yes, and how did it go?
Very good, actually. Good. Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
Noticed.
Yeah, no, nice. It's good. Yeah, it was very nice because teaching is one thing, but giving people an experience is another thing.
For sure.
And so this was the confession I had to start with.
But now we're friends, no?
Now we're friends, okay. Yes. And I know you're not like that and that you are, well, maybe you're more of an introvert person, but that you do want to share. And well, now I can sort of, it's even inspirational because back there you were working.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think it's pretty good to have some space in between you and the students.
There's a distance and then there's also a sense I like to keep very professional also.
Yeah.
If they're there to receive a service from me or they know what they're there for me to have, I want to give them that. Of course you want to give them more, but that can come over time.
Yeah.
And there's always time for that. There's time to get comfortable with each other and time to realize what their intent is there, what your intent is for them and vice versa. And then from there, it's a nice base to work from. Before that, yes, I keep quite reserved, quite closed. And then ask me some questions, knock on the door, and I'll let you in, of course.
That's it. Yeah, but I mean, there's so many people coming and going. You cannot get too attached or just in the
other. And that's what I do find quite hard moving around or teaching new students or chains of students coming in, is that I can't. It takes me time. It takes me time to open up to them. It takes me time to figure out what you need or what you want from me.
Yeah.
As a teacher, as a friend, as support.
Yeah, that makes so much sense, actually. Yeah.
No. So, yes, but I am aware that first off, first front, I do have quite a stern face. I do have quite a standoffish attitude. But, yeah, if you bear with me, I open up.
Yeah, no, I'm so glad that we became very good friends now. And I really enjoy spending time with you. And I want to start off with a yoga question.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite asana and why?
It changes for me. Sometimes it can be something as simple as a forward fold or Paschimottanasana, because that's where I need to work on at the moment. So it's whatever posture is making me work through something more on an emotional level. So if I can feel I've got emotional resistance in my body, and there's a particular asana that will work that, that's my favorite pose at the time. So it changes. Overall, it would be, yes, it changes a lot.
Paschimottanasana for now?
Let's say Paschimottanasana for now for me, yes.
Oh, that's nice. That's great.
Simple, but very, very effective. One of the most powerful.
Yeah.
Very nice for circulating energy in the body.
It's good. Okay. Yeah. So we went to Ashtanga this morning, you guys.
Yes, you did indeed.
And they were pressing your back in the Paschimottanasana. It's very nice. Yes. They get good. Yeah, they get good adjustment.
And you, what is your favorite?
I like Paschimottanasana, and headstand is my all-time favorite.
Oh,
it was
really?
The first posture I could do. Like, basically, I was, when I started doing yoga 3 years ago, I was like not flexible, not everything, but I could stand on my head like right away. But I still love the posture.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah, it always does a lot, even when I'm just there for a minute.
Mm.
It changed the energy, like, it's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm.
All right, next question.
Yeah.
Please describe yourself in 3 words.
Oh.
You've got 10 seconds.
Oh, no.
No, but...
Okay. Disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
Determined. Sometimes impatient.
Beautiful. I like that. Yeah, yeah. I can...
I'm working on my patience. India is teaching me patience.
Yes, India is the perfect freaking
sure.
place for that. Without patience, you're not going to last very long. Okay, great. Let me see. What's the best advice you have ever received?
I received some advice from a friend when I was around maybe 22 or so. His name's Ben, and he's an artist from the UK. And he told me the first time I traveled to say yes to everything. Obviously, don't say yes to everything and everyone in every situation, but that was instilled in my mind throughout most of the experiences that I have experienced to this date. This is what comes to my mind when I feel like it's right to experience. And some of the best experiences I've had is from that.
Oh,
just
wow.
By saying, just say yes. Just
oh, that's
yes.
so cool.
If
yeah.
you're embarrassed, it's okay, just say yes. If you're in danger, of course, say no.
Yeah.
But
to keep basically
right,
the mind
yes.
open and to not like sort of...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Don't cut it off. Always be... Yeah, that's kind of what it represents for me, is be open for things.
Oh, that's great.
If someone asks you to do something new, if your initial thought is yes, then say yes.
Okay, so now that you live in India,
mm-hmm.
What do you like most about living here?
What do I like?
Apart from that it's good for practicing patience, what do you like so much about living here? The food.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Because being a vegan, it's quite hard to find food from my town back in the UK.
What is it, your town?
My town is Middlewich, just south of Manchester, in the Cheshire district of the United Kingdom. And there's few vegan restaurants, but still they're trying to catch up to this fad that is happening. But the food here is phenomenal.
Yeah,
I've never had a bad meal here ever.
Yeah.
When it comes to vegan cuisine.
Well, once with me, you ordered pumpkin
oh,
curry,
was very bad,
and
actually,
it was freaking
yes,
baby food.
It
but never mind.
Bad. We won't mention the restaurant.
Yeah. Other than that, the food is awesome.
Yeah, it's very very. Nice.
Yeah. Okay. And so far, what has been like the best experience for you here in India?
The best experience was most likely my 900-hour training that I did in Mumbai last
year. Oh yeah,
year.
Tell me about it. That's crazy. It says a lot about your dedication.
Well, I actually was looking to do a 300-hour, and then one of my old friends, he's around 75 years old, he's a Canadian man, and he spent many years in the Institute. And he found out I wanted to do my advanced training. And then he told me, you have to do the Yoga Institute in Santa Cruz in Mumbai. And at this time I was living in America and I was trying to find a way to leave the country so that I could keep conformed with my visa regulations. And this was a nice stint to leave the country for 3 months to then immerse myself back into the training. It's classical hatha training from a Sri Yogendra point of view or from his teachings, And yeah, it was the most phenomenal training. It was the most phenomenal experience to be in the middle of Mumbai city for 3-4 months.
Insane.
Yeah, it was very intense. But I like intense. I was searching for the philosophy, or more philosophy. I was searching for people who I was really inspired by to teach me.
Yeah.
So instead of just being taught by anyone and everyone, I wanted to find those people, and those people were at the Yoga Institute.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I get that. Oh, that's beautiful. So after finishing your course there, you moved to Preksha, right, where we met?
Yep, I did Preksha for 2 weeks and featured on their 300-hour teaching Vinyasa and Yin. And then I left, visited home, and came back in December, and then stayed with Preksha until around March time.
Mm-mm.
Teach only in teacher trainings.
Yeah.
Where we met, you didn't like, but now you like.
Now I like. Mm-hmm. And so you've been teaching a lot of yin yoga.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite practice for yourself? What do you like to practice most?
My favorite is Ashtanga.
Ashtanga, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I feel that my body is made for Ashtanga. I feel that my mind is made for what the practice can give you. So it doesn't allow you to think about much else. It's challenging, it's a discipline, it's structured. My favorite types of teachers are Ashtanga yoga teachers, because they're like me within their teachings. They're strict, but they get it.
Yeah.
They're strict, but they give what you need, and they give what you want, and they know what you need and want.
Yeah.
So for me, Ashtanga, and then the perfect partner to that is yin. Many people who I teach, yin yoga is very nice to teach. Ashtanga yoga for me, not yet to teach. Maybe in the future.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So just, I think most of the people who listen know, but can you just briefly explain Ashtanga?
It's a set sequence. As far as I'm aware, it's become quite renowned in Mysore. But I've learned about Pattabhi Joyce, who's the main guy or the front of what Ashtanga is. But then the more and more you look, there's some really phenomenal underrated or even unrecognized teachers of Ashtanga. So it's a very strict sequence. It's a set sequence with set vinyasas, set drishtis for every posture, set transitions for every posture. And then, yeah, you move through the series, and the series primary, intermediate, advanced A, B, and so on.
Mm-mm. Yeah, awesome. And then yin?
And yin, from a Chinese medicine perspective. So it's just a different approach. It's yin in nature, so you have Ashtanga, more yang in nature. More active, more heat generating, and so on. And then with yin, it's more passive, cultivating such feelings like surrender, acceptance, allowing the major muscles of the body within the yang practice to have that rest. And then the ligaments, the tendons, and the joints of the body, which we don't work in a yang practice so much, they get time to have compression, have support, new fresh blood flow. So it's not restorative yoga, but long held postures, mindset, intention, where the target area is of the body, and stimulation of meridian lines, or from that concept or that context instead of from a nadi basis.
All right, nice, thank you. And if we go to like people who inspire you, who inspires you most? Do you have a guru or?
No, this is what I'm still in search of. All the way through.
Gurus out there, we share Kelly's details.
Well, we might have found one in our Ashtanga teacher that we shared this morning, for this season at least, which is probably the longest running guru that
I've had. But I think guru is a bit strange word, right?
It is a little
I don't really
particularly, of course people sometimes impress me, of course sometimes I do admire people, but really, I know that we all have that ability. We just need to find what it is to focus our energies on.
Yeah.
And then we can reach our potential within that, if it's right for us. And then to differentiate between what is right for us and what isn't, and then to leave that and move on to something that we can reach our potential with. Plus, when I see someone, people who play guitar impress me. People who have a phenomenal practice impress me. But then when I look at it a little bit closer, I can see that it's the time and the effort and the hours that isn't so impressive that's gained them to this status.
Yeah.
So I think we spoke about this before with guitar playing, and I really admire good guitar players. But it's taken away some of the spark for me, because when I see them performing, I see the amount of hours they've sat in front of tabs and scales. to dissect every part of the music. So it takes away something special from me when I have admiration.
Mm-mm.
So I try not to have it too much. When it comes to a guru specifically, because I've moved around so much, I have someone for maybe 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, and then I leave.
Yeah,
so I am in search of someone because I need that support.
You do,
to advance to a different level,
yeah.
I need support from someone.
Mm.
I've also been disappointed by some teachers, which is sad to say, but it's a reality. And I hope to find a good inspirational teacher that I can stay with and progress with, because that's what I have been lacking.
Of course, that's nice at the time that you're here for a while now and that you can stick with a teacher for a while. That's great. Let me see. So, can you tell me about a time you tried to do something and failed?
Many times. Usually if I have my mind set to something, if somewhere I want to work, something I want to be involved in, I'll hound the people. And I'll hound them down so much that I look desperate, and that's what will go against me. And what looks like desperation is just eagerness and want and so on. So I've failed a few times in that way. Specifically, I can't think, maybe working for a yoga studio or maybe working for a retreat or a resort. I've been extremely keen and it's been perceived as desperate.
Yeah.
And due to that, I've failed.
Okay, well, that's very open
and honest. That's the most pronounced thing I can see in regards to failing. Because I set the bar of my expectations or my ideals or my wants and desires very, very high. But not to obtain that, but to reach for something close to it.
Yeah.
And then I'm happy. So when it comes to rejection or disappointment or failing, it doesn't happen too much.
Yeah.
But the most pronounced thing is my eagerness can sometimes be seen as being desperate.
Okay. So now that you live in India, you do not live alone. We're actually here in your super nice tiny house. I love this placement.
Thank you so much.
I walked in, I haven't had a house, like a proper home, for a while. I've been house sitting over the past year, and I came in here and I was like, oh wow, that's so nice. It's not gigantic, but it's clean, it has nice colorful cushions, and I don't know, I liked it so
much.
So you don't live here by yourself, because you're currently living with a Russian man.
Yes, indeed.
Before, just saying, an American man, and you had a Brazilian man, so you've tried.
So many times. I'm calming down now, Mom, I promise.
Yeah. But what is like the biggest cultural thing you've learned from these relationships?
Oh, that they're very similar, but in different ways.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how to describe this more accurately through verbal language. But
try.
Really, and I don't want to offend my own people either. The way we interact firstly with people, the way we interact with strangers, it's very different. But then when it comes to certain traits, certain habits, we're all very, very similar.
Yeah, you reckon?
Very similar, yeah.
Okay.
But we all get up in the morning, we all go to bed at night, we all brush our teeth.
We all breathe.
Yeah, exactly.
Some of us do yoga. Yeah. Okay, well, let's just continue with what is now. And you're in a relation with Bora, a Russian guy. And Well, you're both living your lives here together and then doing your own thing.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you and your new lover evolve together spiritually? And how do you support each other with work?
Okay. Spiritually, this is nice. I think that I can sometimes be a little bit hard, and he's pushing through that and finding a softness in me. And that's making me progress in quite spiritual ways.
Yeah.
In regards to communication and the way we communicate and can talk, number one, giving time to be able to communicate and talk is very important. Realizing that it is important. And then the communication and the conversations that we have, I mean, in regards to him, I can look at him and I can see that he's evolved. He's done a lot of self-work. He's asked a lot of questions. And with that understanding of himself, he can then understand me.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Or the people around him. So he's teaching me spiritually some of the hardest lessons I've learned, some of the hardest realizations about myself, and it's not pretty. But I'm aware that we all have these flaws and we all have these things to work on. And he's supportive and he's standing with me through these flaws.
Gives you space to work on that and go through it. Yeah. That's the best thing.
He allows me to talk about them. He allows me to talk about them from different perspectives, almost like a psychopath. With the two or three personalities, figuring out, well, maybe I do it because of this. Maybe it's because of this. And he sits with me patiently. He's very patient. He's very relaxed. I'm very impatient and very active.
Good yin
so,
yang.
Yes. But we're too much yin and too much yang. So what we're trying to do, again, as a group or couple spiritual journey, we're finding that balance. He's finding more activity. He's finding more discipline. I'm finding to relax more and to reel it in.
That's great. Also because you're both setting up businesses here.
Yes.
So that must be a great sort of... Yeah.
When we set up...
Just to let the listeners know, can you tell a little bit about what you're doing here and what he's doing here?
Yeah, so Bora
It's so
has,
exciting! Yeah.
Bora has a small pop-up coffee shop in front of a wellness center.
Hoops Cafe, guys.
Hoops
Go
Cafe.
See it if you're in Goa.
Yes,
it's freaking
Ashford
worth
Beach.
It.
Very, very nice. We do coffees, flower teas. We do specialty vegan lattes, coconut milks, soy milks. We do vegan desserts of the day. He does vegan vegetarian waffles with all sorts of toppings.
Beautiful.
He does not skimp on the toppings.
Yeah.
And yeah, we've created a nice cozy atmosphere and we hope that people will come over the season. And what was the rest of the question?
So like that's his business,
yes.
And now you are on the other hand setting up your own businesses, right?
Yes. There's a few things that are going on. A few things have taken a little bit of time. A few things have been put on hold, so I'm in the point of prioritizing certain things. But yeah, we are working together. It's a complement. The fields of work that we're in, they're both hospitality, they're both service, they're both involved with people, customers, clients, their enjoyment, their experience.
Yeah.
So really, even though it's very different, teaching yoga and an
today you want to make people feel at home, right? It's on the mat or in the cafe.
Yes,
that's great. So it's just super cool, I think, because you haven't been together for a long time, and you just dove into this, right?
Yes,
living
true.
Together, setting up business together,
no,
just full forward. And I really like that about the two of you. Like, just see where it takes us, hoppa, let's go.
And it's quite funny, we delved in so deep and we're still discovering things about each other.
Yeah, that's it.
So
normal people would still be dating now.
Yes, it's very, very true. This is what we say.
Yeah.
But we're at the point in our lives where people come
How old
together.
Is he? He's 34?
He's 35.
Oh, 35, yeah.
And I'm 28.
Yeah.
He knows what he's ready for. He knows what he wants.
Yeah.
I know what I'm ready for, what I want. And yeah, it's just...
Down. Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Yeah,
thank
I love seeing you together. So
thank
cute.
You.
They look so cute, guys. Go check the cafe, Hoops Cafe.
Indeed.
And this cutest couple out. Okay, so just quickly, what does living a conscious lifestyle mean for you? I think we already touched on some things.
Living a conscious lifestyle sometimes for me is a little bit of a curse, because when you're trying to be conscious and then you become unconscious, you very quickly can see where you've failed or where you've come short.
Yeah.
And you know that it's wrong, and you know that it's not a correct way to behave, and you know that it, and you know it all. Yes, exactly. So it was highlighted to me a lot long ago. I was thinking, well, you know, I know that I do these things wrong, and I'm working on it, so it's okay. And then someone highlighted a different perspective to me and said, well, because you know about it, surely it's even worse. You should not be doing it. I'm like, oh, okay, maybe. So a conscious lifestyle for me, taking things at a slow pace, being aware of what you're doing, trying not to cause harm throughout the day, and then doing your duty well, or doing your karma well, doing your purpose well.
Good intent, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Good intentions. Know your intentions.
Yeah, okay, beautiful. And I just want to continue with a couple of questions, but for these questions, I want you to ask them very quick.
Okay.
Okay, just to shake things up a little bit. No arms, no...
Okay.
Just hop a day, black or white?
White.
Indoor or outdoor?
Indoor.
Person you miss most now that you're away?
My mom.
Biggest fear?
Loss.
Favorite book?
The Prophet.
Sex or yoga?
Sex.
Can you say that again?
Sex.
First thing you do in the morning?
Go on the balcony.
Would you rather win an Olympic medal or the Nobel Prize?
The Nobel Prize.
Okay. And then the body part you like most of yourself?
A body part?
Yes.
My belly.
Mm. It's pretty.
It stays small. Even if I expand, it stays small somehow. Mm.
We have a little bit of the same body.
I think so. Yeah. We do. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Okay. No, there was another one. Let me see. Let me see. Let me see. Oh, yeah. Your guilty pleasure. Freaking hell. I can't find it. So just pleasure. For you guys to know, Kelly doesn't drink. Kelly is like, she eats very little. When I eat with her, I'm embarrassed because I eat so much. She eats chocolate, but really only 10 gram, nothing
yeah,
more.
It's not too bad.
One coffee, nothing.
It used to be chocolate. It used to be dark chocolate. It used to be maybe food. But really, for I would say my guilty pleasure. I can't answer this one.
This was still part of the quick questions.
Yeah,
go, go, go.
No, so
go, go, go. Guilty, oh guilty, God. Guilty.
Maybe, yeah, having an evening joint is a guilty pleasure because I know that what it comes with is not so healthy. Whereas when it comes to cannabis, I'm very pro-cannabis. For medicinal uses, for relaxation uses and all of these things. But yes, I do feel a little bit guilty sometimes having it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, you look confident smoking it.
Oh, yeah, it's very comfortable when I'm in and when I go. It's okay, you know, this is one of my only vices.
Yeah.
One of my only technical right or wrongs.
Yeah.
One of the only things that is maybe not fully benefiting my body
that I do.
For sure, everything else seems okay, but this, sometimes I feel guilty.
But you know what? This joint was the reason why I could actually come and get you on the show, because this is the Conscious Junkie Show. When I saw you smoking the joint confidently in the cafe where your students were coming in and out, I thought, fuck yeah, I need her on the show. Because I liked it so much. You know what? I'm not sure if you can remember, but when we were in Preksha last year, you know, I think I sort of admired you. You were sitting at the cafe doing your work, whatever. And I ordered a coffee. And you were sitting there. And I don't know. I felt like, oh, can I have a coffee now? I sort of wanted to
hide it or not.
Almost.
Well, I think that that's the reason why I'm slightly proud of doing it. So at one time it's guilty for me. But another time I'm proud.
Yeah.
Because we're in this place and we're in this age. Or maybe it's happened all through the ages, but we're embarrassed about the bad side of ourselves.
I know!
We're embarrassed about what we do wrong, or you know, how we feel sometimes, or
how will we judge for whatever action we do or take. Yeah.
And there's so many yoga teachers around now, and I see, obviously, being in these locations, so many teachers. You know, stand by your action and do it fully.
Yeah,
that is also a karma.
Yeah.
So I understand that it's bad. I understand that sometimes, yes, I feel guilty. But yeah, I'm proud of it, because when these teachers would judge me, the judgment is on them.
Yeah, that's true. That's
and in
so
addition,
true.
They're only judging what they are not perfect in, and none of us are perfect.
But that's the whole point. But you do need some courage to do those things, you know, because for me, I think a long time that was kind of an issue, because people would judge me if I would ever, like, I got some comments like, oh, you're a yoga teacher, you drink coffee. Or one time I ordered some meat in a restaurant. I know it's better not to. And like, oh my goodness, you eat meat, like those things.
Yeah.
But now I'm at a point like, I do what I do and I'm just proudly doing it. And it gave me so much freedom.
Yeah.
It feels so good.
Yeah.
And it opens conversation, and I don't mind conversation. Mm. I love to welcome more conversation or discussions. And so I think, no, that was just the point that I thought, okay, girl.
Yeah. No, it's very... I think that, like you pointed out, it's you're beyond it. You've seen the other teachers. You've seen that your teacher, who you maybe once admired, have his flaws. Or you've seen that someone else is struggling. It's funny when people go on these 200-hour teacher trainings, how everyone is so conformed, but when it comes to the weekend, they go crazy.
Yes. I resonate with it so much. Yeah.
And it's because we're suppressing certain sides.
Yeah.
And I've read a few books, and I like the bad side of myself.
Do you remember one of those
also.
Books? I love the bad side of ourselves.
A Carl Jung book. I can't remember now. Is that Searching for the Perfect Man or Searching for
okay,
the Man?
Okay, yeah. This subject intrigues me.
Oh,
I mean, we all fuck things up and make mistakes, but as long as we do things with good intent, how much does it matter?
Mm-hmm.
And should we be judged by that?
No.
We shouldn't.
There's so many people in this world, and there's so much going on that really... And of course I judge, and of course I'm working on it. It's innate in us to judge. But why we judge and what we're seeking within that judgment is what's important, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
But yes,
yeah.
The occasional journey is always
That's a very nice end, because I'm from Holland.
Nice, yeah. And I'm very open about it. And everyone knows that, you know, it doesn't stop me from doing work. It doesn't stop me from being ambitious.
Doesn't stop you from getting out of the bed early in the morning.
So, you know, and all my, I've never been embarrassed by it, even with my family. Even
no,
with my
that's
mother,
good,
my,
that's
yeah,
great.
Never
embarrassed. Oh, sweet.
But slightly guilty,
okay.
How we're supposed to behave and how we're behaving.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's
bit,
very, so. Yeah. Okay. So we just, we're coming to an end of the show, but I'm just curious if you want to share something with the people at home or to all your yoga students around the world. Is there some message you want to share with them today?
Just keep doing what you're doing. Whatever you're doing, if it makes you feel good, just carry on. And two of the biggest things that yoga has taught me is perseverance, discipline and perseverance. If you have these qualities, no matter what practice you're doing, whether it be yoga, whether it be going to work as a nurse, whether it be going to work as a teacher, if you do these things, you persevere, you're disciplined within your daily practices, in your daily routines, you'll have a nice life.
Hmm.
Life is struggle, life is hard, we're all being thrown challenges at all day, every day.
Oh, freaking day.
Stop, smell the flowers, keep persevering through all your accomplishments, keep persevering for all your goals, and stay disciplined with structure, with routine.
Yeah, that's so important.
It's very, very healthy.
You need it, you need it.
And enjoy, we're not here for long.
No,
really?
That's true. Freaking out. We're already 28. Mm-hmm. Approaching the 30.
I saw a lady who was 29 yesterday. She nearly cried.
No, I actually feel pretty okay with
it. Too bad.
But it goes by like this.
Our bodies are moving because of yoga like 18-year-olds.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
hopefully
yeah.
It will continue like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so one last thing. Do you have a favorite quote?
A favorite quote? The time is now.
Oh, beautiful.
Actually, my favorite,
very
not
suitable.
Quote, but lyrics to songs is, take it easy, don't let the sound of your own wheels drive you crazy. We may lose and we may win, but we will never be here again.
Oh,
very, very nice.
It's
the
very,
Eagle
very nice.
Song, Take It Easy. And anytime I get too much in my head, or anytime there becomes a problem or I get stressed, I say these words or I listen to this song, and it's a very inspiring, wise song.
It is,
song.
Yeah. I really felt it in my bones. Mm. You're going to have to repeat it when we when we finish this. Okay. All right, guys. So that was Kelly.
Yes, thank you.
Where can people find you? Because you do a lot of super cool things.
Okay. I'm in Ashram Beach in North Goa. I teach daily classes at Anahata Retreat, if you ever want to drop by for yin. We also have desserts on the Anahata menu.
Sweet.
So you can come straight in off the beach and you can have a nice a la carte dinner with some vegan raw desserts. And then you can also find me reading, most likely, at Hoops Cafe, my partner's cafe, where we also serve daily vegan desserts, good coffee, good lattes, good vegan lattes.
And out
happy
online?
This season. And online?
Yes.
Ah, yes, you're so good.
Okay,
good. She feels it on the yes, online. I have a brand which is ever developing and it's called By Equilibrio Felice. You can find me online on Instagram, _Kelly_Mason.
Go check it out.
Yes, there's
awesome
lots of
photos.
Writing, there's lots of blogs, yep, vegan recipes, exciting collaborations.
And soon Kelly
offerings.
Will have a shop
yes.
online.
Yes.
Let me help her sell herself.
Thank you so much.
She
all
makes super
time.
Cool bolsters.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been selling them here in, here around here. They're
yep.
super nice and... I think you will sell them online too, right?
Yes, I'll sell
them, with your play
I'll sell
suits.
Them online in a few weeks. And also
yeah.
some play suits, some nice satin, velvet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very
yeah.
pastely, gentle colours.
Play suits,
yeah,
super
very,
nice.
Very minimal items, but very nice quality. And it keeps me being able to do what I'm doing.
Wonderful. Okay, people, go check out Kelly. I want to thank you so much for listening. I'll promise
thank
the next
you.
Podcast won't take so long. I will be back with another interesting guest next month.